This evening's second reading comes to us from the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verses 169 through 176. And I'll be reading to you from the New King James Version this evening. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. The word of the Lord. We've talked before in this service about how important the different phases of the moon were to the ancient Celts. We've also talked about the special meaning of the seasonal moons. On a basic level, the full moon was celebrated because of its shape. The circle is very important to the Celts. It may actually be their most important symbol. It signifies that all things spring forth from and return to the same place. It symbolizes unity and a sense of closure. It provides balance. This is why the Celtic cross has a circle around it, around the place where the two beams meet. The connected beams represent the place between heaven and earth, the place where pain and spiritual healing connect, while the circle that surrounds it signifies infinity and eternal spiritual love. In fact, our own Presbyterian cross back there is a Celtic cross, and one hangs just inside the doorway to the south portage entrance if you'd like to take a closer look. Even the earth is circular, and time seems to have a circular pattern. And think about the cycle of the four seasons: spring on top, summer on the side, autumn on the bottom, and winter on the opposite side. The circle also represents the passage of time on the human soul, with spring being our birth, summer being our youth and early adulthood, autumn being our old age, and winter being the process of death as the soul prepares to return home to its creator. Now, tomorrow happens to be a full moon, and being only 5 days away from the autumnal equinox, it's actually a harvest moon. The harvest moon was one of the most important moons. It brought the promise of bounty to the Celtic nations that had to continually work hard in order to survive. A successful harvest meant an easier winter. It meant they would survive during the harsh, cold winter months ahead. A successful harvest meant they would reap the rewards of their hard work. And now we might be able to see where all of these things we've just talked about come together. Because for, actually, I think everybody here except maybe David this evening, we are in autumn, the time of our older selves, and the time of harvest for our souls. Now, we Westerners, we tend to be a little afraid of this time in our lives, but the Celts have such a wonderful approach to this time. They call it the bounty of the inner harvest. And when I say harvest of our souls, I don't mean death. Father John O'Donohue, who was a Catholic priest and a Celtic scholar, writes that in the autumn time of your life, your experience is harvested. Time for each one of us passes and expires, but the soul, that's eternal. Inner harvesting of your soul means that you actually begin to sift the fruits of your experience. This is a lovely backdrop against which we can understand aging. Aging is not merely about the body losing its poise, its strength, and its self-trust. Aging also invites you to become aware of the sacred circle that shelters your life. In fact, if you can come to see aging not as the demise of your body, but as the harvest of your soul, you will learn that aging can become a time of great strength, poise, and confidence. O'Donohue writes, as your body ages, you can become aware of how your soul surrounds and minds your body, and the panic and fear often associated with aging can fall away from you. It's a nice thought. Getting older can be frightening because it seems as though your autonomy and your independence are leaving you against your will. I know my knees and ankles have developed minds of their own the last few years. They just decide they want to stop working whenever they feel like it. And I'm a traveling geriatric nurse, although I haven't practiced that way in a couple of years, but I know that no matter where I've gone, that's the one common fear I've seen over and over again, the loss of control over one's body. I can't remember where I put my eyeglasses, and that worries me. I don't have full control over my faculties or my functions, and that worries me and it embarrasses me. And the increased passage of time that we all experience as we get older brings us even more stress. You know what I mean when I say the increased passage of time? I have a really good quote from Shakespeare, but I'm not going to read that to you because it's kind of boring. I'm going to tell you instead. We have a parishioner in our church, Barb Lynn, and we were talking a couple of weeks ago about this subject, how time seems to get faster. And she said something that I really liked a lot. She said, I think of life as a roll of toilet paper. The closer it gets to the end, the faster it goes. And that's funny, but it's also a little bit scary. When we laugh at that, it's a bit of a nervous laughter because we know it's true. We've all experienced it. But what is the difference between a very young, energetic person and a very old, frail person? Anybody know? Time. That's it. That's the only difference, is time. So how do we calm our Western minds against what should be the most joy-filled, peaceful time in our lives? Well, one way is to remember Christ's promise to us in Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The Lord desires for you to take his peace and sense of comfort into your soul. We are created in his image, and in him there is no darkness at all. So why are we so quick to let so much darkness into our lives and minds and hearts? I'll give you an example. This is also from Father O'Donohue. He writes how many of our troubles are things that we create through our own attitude toward life. He writes, there is a friend of mine from Cork who lived near an old woman named Mary who had a notoriously negative and gloomy outlook on everything. We might call her a negative Nancy. A neighbor met her while walking along a road one beautiful morning in May. The sun was shining, flowers were out, and nature looked as if it wanted to dance. He said to her, hasn't God given us such a beautiful morning, Mary? And she replied, I know, sure, but what about tomorrow? She wasn't even able to enjoy the actual presence of beauty around her because she was already troubled about how awful tomorrow might be. Our older age is a vulnerable time. It's a time when we can become worried and anxious like Mary. But Blaise Pascal once said that in difficult times, you should always keep something beautiful in your heart. That something is Jesus Christ. That something is the God-given circle of your soul around your life, the place between heaven and earth, the place where pain and spiritual healing meet. The circle of your soul is the natural shelter around your life. It heals you. And while this is a wonderful thought, and it does provide for us a sense of spiritual warmth, I also have to caution you. In this evening's second reading, we heard the psalmist sing to God, let my soul live, and it shall praise you. If you continue to praise God, as in that psalm, but you are filled with anxiety and worry, then you are, as Christ warned in the scripture that Steve read to you earlier, What comes out of your mouth is what truly is in your heart. And if that's anxiety and worry, then it defiles you. It desecrates and spoils your soul. Christ did not come so that you could live your life in fear and anxiety. He came to take those things from you. He didn't die so that you could still be filled with the stresses and sins of the world. He died to free you from them. You are made new in Him in every second of every minute of every hour of every day. Each second of your life is a moment where you can choose worldly panic, or you can choose godly joy. You can choose stressors of the enemy, or you can choose the peace of Christ. What you sow into your heart is what you'll harvest during this important time in your life. In the book Anam Kara, the author writes, "The way you are toward your life is the way that your life will be toward you. To have an attitude that is compassionate and hopeful brings home to you the things you really need. There is a place in the soul that is eternal. Time makes us old, but there is a place in the soul that time cannot touch. It is a lovely thing to know this about yourself. If you begin to feel the warmth of your soul, there will be a youthfulness in you that no one will ever be able to take from you. We've heard it said that true beauty comes from within. That's because real beauty is a light that comes from the soul. So let it live. Let your soul live." As we pause for our moment of silent reflection this evening, we might think about those times when we've found it difficult to let go of our anxieties or our regrets or bitter moments from our past. We might ask God to make His light shine brighter during those dark moments so that all we can see and all we reflect comes from Him. Think about how you can make sure your inner harvest is the beautiful one that God intended. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.